Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon. Feels like it's been a minute since we did this. Didn't have a show last Thursday, and last Tuesday was a monumental show. Oh my God, close to 800 hits for that show with Janice Rochelle, Little John, Grace Kelly, Kaylee Neiswanger, and Gail Johnson. It was just incredible. Woo! Are you ready for today? I'm not sure you are. We have a guest calling from Singapore. Aaron Shenoy and Matthew Shell returns for a visit. They got together and did some collaborating, and the result of that is just mind-blowing. Seriously, I do go on about different kinds of music, but honest to goodness, it's just fabulous. Happy Memorial Day aftermath to all of you who are veterans and all the ones who are listening in heaven. God bless you for your service, and God bless you for listening today. I thought if they called Matthew and Aaron a little bit early, then I would talk to them first, but you know what? After Daoud's music here, we'll give you a little taste of the Grammy-nominated project by Aaron Shenoy, Rumba Doodle. Don't you love that title? Let us do our thing, shall we? This is a hand-selected by Aaron himself. It's called The Violin Song on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. Oh, we have a whole new meaning of hybrid today. I want you to get ready because this particular gentleman embodies so much of what I have tried to relay to so many people for the past couple of years. It's all about the creativity that one has to go far beyond what the box tells you to do. It's like, as Greg Adams says, lyrics without words. Amazing guests that we have today, and I'm thinking that we have two on the line. I see one of the lines right there. Aaron Shenoy from Rumbadoodle, his title track right there, and the violin song right before that. With me, a very special partnership. It's not only Aaron Shenoy calling from Singapore, but Matthew Shell as well, who has collaborated with him on an awesome project. Both music producers, both composers, both very astute businessmen. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you. Yes, we're both
here. Yay! That's wonderful. How are you both doing today?
Great.
Oh, great.
Great.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, my goodness. Aaron, my pleasure. Tell us what time it is in Singapore so folks know.
It's 1:10 in the morning.
1:10 in the morning. May I just say, bless your heart. Thank you so much for being a part of this today. That's wonderful.
Wonderful. Thanks for having us. It's really awesome to be here.
Oh, my gosh. My pleasure. You know what? I don't know how much time you have. Aaron, you let me know when you want to go. It is completely up to you. Tell me about, because the folks don't know, you were up for Grammy contention, and I want to know what kind of a surprise it was for you to get that message that you had Rumbadoodle aligned with folks like Larry Carlton, Dave Koz, Gerald Albright, Norman Brown, Chris Bode for Best Pop Instrumental Project. What was your reaction, and have you come down from that cloud yet?
I have to say it was pretty surreal when I heard about it for the first time, and it did take more than a few days for it to sink in.
I'll bet.
Because, like you said, to be in the company of Chris Botti. I mean, I'm a big fan of his work, and of course Larry Carlton, Dave Koz. It's been pretty nice. I'm really grateful for what has happened and all the work we've put in, not just me. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's the whole team without which none of it would be possible. And the fact that, we actually made it to this level was really, really a wonderful feeling. More than anything else, we're just very grateful and very humble, more than being ecstatic and on top of the world. I think we're just very happy for what they've achieved, and we hope the same for a lot of other people, who are aspiring to something similar, and it works out. It always does.
Yes. And Matthew, you can throw in what you'd like to say in regard to this, because I'm so impressed that there was an initial committee members who must have heard Aaron and said to themselves, what do we have here? This is breathtaking. So for how many stages is there in a given situation? Is there step one and then step two as you whittle down the list and step three? How does that process work? Because you know about the inner workings of the Grammy.
Well, basically there's the balloting process, and that's where everyone can submit. And then the only process after that is once the votes are in for that, there is the final round of voting. So the balloting process, and there comes the nomination, and then the voting. So basically, we as a voting member, we always make sure to vote on the quality of the music. And honestly, that's how Arun got nominated. His music was just, the quality was just so good that it deserved to be in the category with Chris Botti and all the others. So yeah.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. It's so fascinating to me because, gosh, the fact that your country, Aaron, is probably so proud. As I said on a post that is on my Facebook page as of the past 48 hours, probably so many people in Singapore would say, even now, it doesn't matter that Chris Botti won. Mr. Shenoy is always going to be our national hero. That must have thrilled your country so much.
Yes, I'm sure a lot of people were quite happy for it. I mean, it was a lot of people are not really expecting it. I maintain a pretty low profile, so a lot of people don't even know that I do what I do. So it was for a large part, it was one of more of surprise rather than anything else. You know, so it was nice. I mean, what happens is at the end of the day, when something like this happens. Not just friends and family, but a lot of other people kind of it brings people together, in much the way like sports and other things where people rally behind teams, and it brings communities together, and I think that's kind of what's happened because it's kind of brought a lot of people together, people from my past and people whom I hadn't heard from for a long time, other musicians who hadn't been very active for a few years and. Now kind of reconnect and feel inspired to kind of try and do something by themselves. So I think it's a whole positive vibe around it that was the best part about this. You know, not just for me being here in Singapore and the people around me in Singapore, but also from India where I originally hail from. I mean, I've lived there for the first 24 years of my life. I was born there. And I think there was a bit of excitement there too because in India also, we had a couple of nominees, of course, Pandit Ravi Shankar, who passed away earlier this year, and his daughter, Anushka Shankar. That was kind of expected, I suppose, because they're very prominent people, so it didn't come as much of a surprise, but to have another person of Indian origin in the same company did generate a lot of interest, I would say, in India, which is kind of nice, which is very sweet.
It's always such a pleasure to hear such talent possess such humility, and I want to make it a point to share what it says on your website about any sort of shopping on your website that goes to a very special cause, and that just touched my heart so much, and the fact that you so much talk about the team and the total effort as opposed to what you bring to the table. That's beautiful. How is it that Matthew and Aaron, you got together? What were the circumstances? Because that seems like a very organic, very special kind of partnership that you have.
Oh, that I think it first started when I heard his music and just was amazed. I was blown away by the violin song, which you played earlier, and his music video. And I just reached out to him on Facebook and just told him how much I appreciated it. And then I don't remember exactly what happened from there. What do you remember after that, Arun?
I think what I have to say is probably a bit more humorous than that. I think, Matthew has worked with this artist called, many artists in the past, whom I know, but Caroline Malachi in particular. And she had this lovely song called Beautiful Dreamer, which was composed, produced, arranged, engineered, and pretty much everything else by Matthew. And my wife had performed a song about a year ago. I think it was a year or a year and a half ago. And she was just hooked to it. I mean, it was just playing at home day and night, and to a point where I was completely sick and tired of it. And this was about the same time, coincidentally, that Matthew actually came across the violin song. So fate, I suppose, that we just connected. You know, he had written to me about the violin song, and I just wrote to him telling him how kind of, in a way, annoyed I was with him for. Having this Caroline Malachi song playing at home the whole day, literally the whole day. We got in the car and we were playing there as well.
it was just the same song because it has this very, very infectious groove around it. You know, I can still just sing the whole groove of the song, and for a while that was all that I was listening to. And after I heard that, I started kind of exploring the rest of Matthew's repertoire with all the other artists he's done. And a lot of it is also featured on his new album on Victorious, where he brings out his collaborations with various artists. And I think somewhere along this line, Matthew kind of had this song called Genesis. I'm not sure whether it was called Genesis at the time, but it sure is now. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, trippy song, very funk. You know, I love funk. I love funk. I love funk rock. I grew up on it, right from the Red Hot Chili Peppers to so many others. And Matthew just said it lacks something, and you know the violin song, and how about we try something? And that's when the idea came about. Since I had already worked with Ian Cameron on Rambadoodle and the violin song, he's a very groovy player. So since Matthew's music in general tends to be very, very groovy, which is something which is very important to me if I'm working on a project, I thought why not to give it a shot, and it just kind of worked out. It kind of worked out really well that way. And yes, there you have it, Genesis.
It really did work out rather well. I played Genesis for someone. Matthew, you were very kind to send me the initial take of the song, and I played it for a music person, and I didn't say who it was, but they were so excited when I played this song for this gentleman that he said, "Oh, my God, Mahavishnu on steroids."
Oh, that's great.
It was great, and I'm thinking of the, you know, the fact of the matter is that both of you are you are young thinking artists. You are young thinking producers, and to have this breath of life blown anew into what I consider to be fused jazz, or the elements of the hybridity that come into play for all of it, because there is certainly world music attached to this. Of course there is, because we're talking about Aaron Shenoy. And then Matthew, you bring your Washington, D.C. et al. Background into play, and you've got your ear on different kinds of genres. So the combination of you two, it's pretty lethal. That song is brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are more than welcome. My ears say thank you, too. what is it? I mean, what is what would you like to see happen? Is there going to be a situation? Well, Victorious, Matthew, you've got to tell us about that. And Aaron, what are you doing now to sort of build on the glorious situation that you have found yourself in the past several months?
Aaron,
well, I'm working. Sure. Okay. Sorry, I already started. Sorry about that. That is a bit rude, I suppose.
No, it's good. This is
anyway,
Freeform Radio.
So I've just started work on the follow-up album to Rambadoodle. So Rambadoodle was more, you know, the Spanish flamenco vibe inspired. And I'm actually started work on my pet project, which is something I'd planned before Rambadoodle, but it just didn't happen. And this was going back to my Indian roots, going back. It's like a journey back to my cultural identity of having a relatively large scale, what you call an epic styled Indian fusion album.
Mm.
And I was hoping to have released it this year, but it just didn't seem to happen, so I think I'm going to take my time with it, and it's probably going to take a year or maybe even two, but I do plan to release the first single in August this year.
Oh, good.
And that's actually what I'm working on right now.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Good. Something to look forward to. Woohoo! And Matthew, you know what? You probably had alluded to this, but I didn't know that the next CD of yours is coming out this summer.
Yes, indeed, at the end of July, July 25th.
Well, gracious, aren't you two busy? That's just really crazy. Can you tell us a little something without pressing
yes.
the issue too much? You can't reveal too much. Okay.
I can reveal plenty just for you, Trish. But
thank you, Matt.
Victorious album. So this album's going to be called Victorious, and for a long time I've been collaborating with different people, and there have been different songs that I've done for different artists around the country, and so I thought, why not put them together and also include remixes of songs that have been released. So this project is, in the last year and a half, it's pretty much just all my best work with different artists that I admire a lot, like Paul Jackson Jr., Greg Adams, Marcus Johnson for the jazz world. And then from the pop world, I actually got to do a remix for Selena Gomez and DJ Flex. So I worked
it's
with
awesome.
DJ Flex personally. Yeah.
It is
just like
awesome.
Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently, you've set Washington, D.C. on fire with this whole concept. I don't know how that concept originated, but for Selena Gomez to make an impression on very hardcore music purists like this, wow,
yes.
that's saying something.
So the story behind that was she and Hollywood Records submitted WPGC her latest single, and they actually denied it. And so they called up directly and said, was there a producer in the area who could remix this and make it worthy of WPGC? So they called up DJ Flex, because he's one of the program directors with WPGC, and he said, yes, me and Matthew Shell will personally remix it. And so this was Wednesday morning that this whole conversation with Hollywood Records happened. DJ Flex called me. I went that night, and he got six musicians, and we did a completely live reimagining of the song, and with congas, live drums, electric guitar, bass guitar, keyboard, everything mixed together. And what was great was Hollywood Records, when they made the deal with Flex, sent over the complete session. So I was actually able to mix the vocals very cleanly with the live instruments, and I had the whole session to work from. So what happened was, we thought it was going to be something like a big, long approval process. Hollywood Records would take their time, listen to it. But they approved it that morning, the following morning. So it was on the radio by 3 o'clock the next day. So from calling and making the deal with Flex to it being on the radio the next day, in the version that we mixed, I thought we were going to get a chance to master it and everything, but they just went with the mix that I gave, and it went right to radio. I was like, wow. So, and
wow.
I just left it like that. That's the version that WPGC allowed me to release on SoundCloud, and they promoted that link and everything. If you go to my Twitter, you can actually see I just retweeted WPGC where they shared my website and everything, and DJ Flex and all that have been really supportive and saying my name on the radio every time the song is played. So it's been a very, very nice thing. But more importantly, the song is just doing really well, and it made it to number one on WPGC back at the beginning of May. So, you know, things are going very well for the work, and just thank God for that. So.
And big props to my old friend Jason Kidd, who I shared a building with when T was a baby. Aaron, my son is now 21, and when he was a baby, I was working with Jason Kidd, who is the one of the honchos at PGC. And trust me, this is a little guy with a lot of pull. If he likes something, he will move heaven and earth to get it on the air. And that's what he did. He believed in this so much. So, Jason, God bless you. Oh, my God, that is such a wonderful
Definitely.
Little story. You never know what kinds of things come your way. All of a sudden, life can change on a dime, can it?
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, now, Aaron, I want to know from you, what was your feeling when, or what was the origin of this song? I'm so taken with the name Genesis lately because, first of all, that's one of my favorite Hyundai cars, the Hyundai Genesis. And Chiellini Minucci's brand new CD with sound effects is also called Genesis, so I'm hearing from that side. And then this illuminating song, how did it get to be? And what went into the whole process of putting this together?
This is something which Matthew had pretty much done a really good job on early on, because Matthew had put together this rather smooth jazz meets funk kind of song, you know, having a very groovy bass line, some nice drums, some nice piano played by Vaughn, some lovely funk guitar going on, some lovely electric guitar going on. So it was already a song. It was already a very well-produced song before we actually kind of turned it around on its head to create what exists now. But I still do listen to the original, which Matthew had done, which is, you know, relatively simple. Sometimes there's beauty in simplicity. Sometimes as producers, we try and tend to, you know, when you're under this pressure to try and create something new, you often try to make it more complex and try to make it more, you know, we do these kind of things. But towards this thing, Matthew had done this thing with something very simple, a very simple groove, a very simple piano line, some very groovy, you know, guitars and stuff. And it was already a lovely song. And so initially I was a bit apprehensive about being able to contribute anything to this, you know, because sometimes when you hear something you really like, you probably can't think of too many things you'd like to do to it without fear of ruining it. And so I told Matthew we would give it a shot at probably trying to layer some violins on it, simply because Ian Cameron from Canada, whom I do work with, is a very groovy player. And if it was not for Ian Cameron, I would probably not have this idea of trying to put violins on the song, simply because it would have to be groovy. Anything we do on what Matthew has already composed, arranged, would have to be very, very groovy. And this is when we got Ian to do the violins. And that was actually when I came to know that Matthew is very, very particular as a producer, because I have probably not worked as hard on any one song as I have on Genesis. Because I recorded the violin, and Matthew would say, you know, maybe we could do something more, and then we'd go back. So believe it or not, I probably spent about 6 weeks, I think, on just the lead violins. And we were recording and recording and re-recording and arranging to a point where I'd probably spend more times on the violins on this one song than I did on the entire Rumbadoodle album, you know, for all the violin parts. It's true, because usually I do not spend so much time on it, but it was just that it's nice because Matthew knows what he wants. He's very particular about, oh, we need this, this is not happening. And in the end, after about 6 weeks of work, we kind of finalized on the lead violins. And then we came to the next problem of, you know, the violins sound good, but maybe it would be good to have some kind of a string section to kind of have it fit well. And then we began the next journey of creating an epic string section, which is what you hear now, you know, very groovy, very dynamic, a moving, well-paced string section to have the violin sit well. So we had to, along the way, we had to kind of, I would say, unfortunately, sacrifice a few of the elements from the original mix because they just did not go, like the funk guitars. But Matthew always has his way of always trying to make the best of everything. So now he has the surround mix for Genesis. I don't know whether Matthew has spoken about this yet, but I'm sure he will. We have this lovely surround mix going on where he has this whole original guitar put back into the mix in surround. And I haven't heard it, but I'm sure it's going to be awesome. Maybe Matthew can say something about that.
Oh, it's coming along great.
Well, you know what? After that, Aaron, I'm telling you what. I'm not sure which version of Genesis that I have here.
You have the finished version.
I do? Okay. Well, I'm not sure because I downloaded everything that you gave me and I picked one. So no matter what, everyone that you gave me was absolutely brilliant and mind-blowing. And I'm laughing because what did you just say, Aaron? An epic string section. That is so funny. Epic being one of those words that could have several different meanings.
Very nice.
Oh, gracious.
Well, that's well, that's what Matthew wanted, so I didn't tell
him. Absolutely. I know it.
And at one point he did 11 takes of violin, and then I was finally, oh, this is amazing. And then he did, I don't remember how many takes of the backing strings, but I was finally happy with it. And he was like, no, let's start over. I was like, no, we're fine. This is perfect. By the end, he was like, oh, I don't know now. Yeah, let's just start over. And I'm like, no, we're good. It's just great. It's perfect.
Well, I've played this song a couple of times, and I've talked about the both of you with such love and reverence. It's only right for me to play this song because I do not want to keep Aaron up too much longer. So we're going to play.
That's all right.
It's all right? Okay. And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the lead single, is it not, from the forthcoming Victorious Project, correct? Okay. Wow.
Yes, yes.
How the heck are you going to follow this up is what I want to know. Whoa. This is a wonderful collaboration. It is a world effort, and that's what's so exciting about Genesis, this beautiful partnership between Aaron and Matthew, my guest today on Hybrid Jazz. And I just love the word because it connotes the start of something, the beginning of something, the hope for something to spring. So here it is, Genesis on Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. Thank you. Such imagery comes to mind when you hear that song. There's just, to me, honest to gosh, Matthew and Aaron, I have to tell you, when I first heard that song and it came up again, hearing Genesis, I flash back many years ago to a song with words. You remember, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Do you remember that?
It's a lovely song. Yes.
That's what I think of when I hear this song. I just see visions of orchestras all over the world in this multicultural setting where everybody is coming together. It's like this Nobel Peace Prize of music.
Oh wow!
It really is. It just is you can hear different countries, you can hear different genres, and it's this delicious mix of what you would want the music of the future to sound like. It's I'm just gonna shut up.
Well, I mean, you touch on it exactly because all the members of musicians who played on this song are from different parts of the world, as we show in the music video. And the only thing I wish we conveyed a little better is that the video was actually shot in multiple countries. For instance, the drummer's video footage was shot at his studio in Germany. The keyboard solo by Jonathan Wesley was shot in India. The pianist, Von Stepanian, his part was shot in Armenia, and then Ian Cameron, the violinist, was shot with us in Los Angeles the day after the Grammys at Stephen Slade's studio, and then the bass player was at Washington, D.C. at Blue Room Productions. So it really is an international gathering and collaboration, and you hit the nail on the head with that. I'm glad that's how it feels to you and how you hear it. That's wonderful.
And that's funny. Well, you're welcome. And that's funny that you should mention what you had in mind. Maybe if you had to do it over again, the video would be different, showcasing those countries. It's funny that I was thinking also in the times that I've heard the song of that really wonderful Tom Cruise movie, Ghost Protocol. And one of the elements that made that movie great was that any time there was a change of drama, the next chapter of the storyline, it would focus on an overview of the country in which it was to take place. So
yeah, we should have done that.
Well, you know what?
Not as far.
But it's just, you're right. I mean, it's a cool way of showing people, because these times that we live in, people so want to see the world, but they're unable to because of finances and obligations, and they can't get away. It is certainly a way of unifying people when that kind of situation is demonstrated. So that was a good thought, Matthew.
Well, one thing the video director, Jason, did that was great was he came up with the idea to put the flags of each country when we introduced everybody at the end of the video.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
At least that part came through very clear,
right,
thanks to his thoughts. What do you think, Arun? The whole
I think it's very well done because Jason, who edited the video, was, I think he did convey the feeling of the video having been shot at different locations by having all the flags and the people at the end, but the video still had a very homogeneous and consistent feel to it, which kind of gave the sense that we were kind of together when we did it. Unless you actually know that it was recorded all over the world, right, from Germany to India to Singapore to Canada and other places, if you just watch the video, the first few minutes of the video, you would actually think that it was done in different recording rooms in the same studio in the Laurel Canyon compound where we did it. And so the way he has edited it still has the sense of bringing people together in the video, of all the musicians bringing them together, yet them being so far away in reality. So I think I really like that aspect of it. When people look at it, they just can't believe till the video ends that it was actually done in different places, like Matthew just mentioned.
That is a good point, Arun, because you know what? More and more people are talking about the special kind of music that happens when everyone is assembled in the same place. So, yes, you are correct.
True.
It did convey that you are all working as a group right there. And that in it of itself is dramatic, because here are these different people from different countries. Oh, how exciting that is to have them assembled under one roof,
True.
Hey, so however anyone wants to take it, we're happy.
That's right.
It just lets people interpret it the way they want it to, I think, which is what music is all about.
That is so fabulously true. And I promised that I wanted to delve into this because, and here I've been saying, because no one has corrected me, I've been saying your name, and it's actually pronounced Arun. Correct?
Yes, that is correct. And you did say
okay.
It right, I suppose. Yes.
Well, here I am. I'm so bloody Americanized. I see Arun. Oh, Aaron, that's a cool spelling. Well, Arun, tell me about this. I love the idea that when anyone goes to your website, they can find out about what is essentially what I'm looking at, MILAAP.org, which to my I says Milap, but it's a beautiful organization, because what you want to do, and you have a quote that I just love on your page that explains it, you are taking a certain percentage. Actually, anytime anybody buys from your website, it goes to the education and empowerment of those that are underprivileged in India. That blows me away.
Yeah, well, the thing was, it's always a thing ahead of kind of giving back. India is a developing country, and there's tons of. I consider myself to be rather lucky to have had a formal education and gone to a good school and having opportunities, basically. Which a vast majority of people in the country do not have. People do not have access to basic infrastructure, basic, healthcare facilities, water, electricity, and education is very often not even available in the large parts of the country. So it's like it's just a way of giving back, saying at some point we're so grateful to have so much that it's not about the money anymore. Or I'm just so lucky to be here. If you think about it, I'm here, you know, collaborating with Matthew, having my previous record going for a Grammy, and I'm here talking to you on the show. I mean, I'm so grateful to be here that I think everybody should have this opportunity. Now, there's two different things here. One is about having the opportunity, and second is about what you do with it. You know, like you hear about so many people born in rich families, and you know, at the end of it, everything goes to waste. And then there are so many people who come up, are self-made, you know, who study under streetlights and create a new world for themselves. And so all I'm trying to do is just try to, in my little way, in just a very little way, try and create the opportunity for so many other people whom I hope will be able to at least capitalize on something which is available to them to try and achieve something. It's as simple as that. Milap is an organization which was actually formed by a friend of mine in Singapore. It's actually based, it's an organization which has a work on the ground in India. It operates only in India, but as a company, it is something that is formed in Singapore, because Singapore is actually very conducive for these kind of entrepreneurial activities, which is why I also have my company in Singapore. And it was formed by a group of friends of mine from college, from university, who wanted to put together this organization to have low-cost microfinance available in India, not just for education, but for various other verticals to help people, you know, achieve their goals. And I thought this is so wonderful, you know, because most people out there are kind of trying to, you know, let's get into the bank, let's get into investment banking, let's get into technology. And here we have a group of young guys who say, you know what, let's just try and make a difference. We're going to try and make this happen. There are other organizations like Kiva who managed it in the past. Why don't we try to do it too? You know, and I was really, really touched by this whole concept of it, and realized I just need to be a part of it. Maybe I'm not able to be a part of it on the ground like these guys are, but at the end of the day, help them in any which way possible. So I thought, you know what? Let's just channel all the sales from my website. So if you look at it in a way, it's like a loss making. If you look at it purely in terms of monetary terms, it's like a loss making venture for me, because I do not pledge my profits. I actually pledge my revenue, which also includes all of my costs, right? Which includes my production costs, my manufacturing costs. But it's all right, you know. I'm actually, like I said, I'm really, really blessed. So I do not look at it in any way as being like a loss or stuff. I just look at it as trying to help.
That's incredible. And actually, the way you have explained it is the way that I am coming to learn. I'm slow to learn, because we did not necessarily learn this in the church in which I was raised. I came to learn later about the significance of the word and the idea behind tithing. So many don't like the idea of giving back to a spiritual endeavor, no matter what that endeavor is. But you are rewarded in so many ways when you unselfishly open your heart and your wallet to those meaningful situations that will go on way beyond your lifespan. And it's so wild that I just discovered this morning, in preparing for the show, I was looking at information about you and Matthew, Arun, and I came across something about Esperanza Spalding. She is going to be at this beautiful affair in the next couple of days, sponsored by the Brotherhood Sister Soul organization. And to read about that just this morning made me think about what you do, because this is essentially what they do in New York City. They provide wraparound services for underprivileged kids from 8 to 22. And apparently, sure, Harry Belafonte and Danny Glover, the actor, have become involved with this organization, sure, from start to finish, just making sure that kids are saved, mentally and physically and in an education way. So, woo, isn't that so cool? I mean, I can see that some way, somehow, maybe what is happening in your world can join forces with what's happening in New York City and really have a monumental event one of these days.
Sure. That's nice.
Oh, it would be phenomenal. And I'm going to make it a point that I can see if somebody can bond with your organization. So, and it's just a matter of people becoming aware of these kinds of efforts.
Yeah.
When you find out that there is such a beautiful miracle like this to make sure that education, and I love what you had to say, folks like to say that the truth will set you free. We like to believe that education will. I love that.
just something I came up with.
as only a person with a master's degree in computation audio could say, that just really is so amazing to me. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you for that. And here we are. Can you believe it's 1:55 or our time, 1:55? Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
yeah.
It is.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It really does. And
I was just about to say that.
Matthew, again, this is something I'm really going to look forward to because we're definitely going to play a track from you and Trey Ely in the course of the show. And that project, the whole freedom endeavor was wonderful. So best believe that Victorious is going to be very highly anticipated. Give me the date again. Did you say the late July?
July 25th. And Amazon actually has snippets of all the songs. So if you just look up Matthew Shell Victorious or Matthew Shell Arun Shenoy Genesis on Amazon, it'll all come up. And actually, Genesis, the lead single, we made available already on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and everything. So if you just Google it, it should come up, and you can check out the single and also the music video on YouTube on Arun Shenoy's station.
That's really wonderful. There's so much that Matthew posts me in the way of videos and information. Oh, my God. You have kept me in the loop with SoundCloud. You have kept me in the loop with what artist you're working with. My head spins. I don't know how you go through day to day, but it's really awesome. And let me also mention this. Arun, your wife, it has such a beautiful hand in designing for you. She's truly a wonderful partner for you.
Yes, that's absolutely true. She is pretty awesome.
She really is.
Conceptualizing she's very good at translating ideas in the form of, you know, auditory and sound into visuals. Because I always believe that music is in a way, not just sound, but it has to be like an audiovisual kind of experience where you can kind of showcase, you know, of course, everybody has their own interpretation of the music they hear. But in a way, it's kind of good to also have some kind of visuals to kind of showcase the way you visualize it as an artist, as the creator, to see if other people connect with it in the same way. So, which is why I've always had this eye for having the visuals, whether it's artwork, whether it's like animation, videos, and stuff like that, and she's awesome. She takes care of all of that. She's really awesome.
You know, it's so funny that those who talk about the importance of visualizing as well as the audio are such beautiful people. Arun and Matthew, you are both very handsome men, so that helps. You know, if you were ugly people, this visual thing wouldn't be happening at all, okay?
Oh, that's wild. Hey, Trish.
Yeah,
one of my friends from from the project was texted, and he asked if he could call in the bass player Tio.
Yes, I see. I see the 301 area code right now. This is Tio. Wait, Tio, are you there with us?
Yes, I am on the phone.
Yay! How are you?
I'm great. What a pleasant surprise.
Oh, this is, look, this is a usual for Hybrid Jazz. It's a pleasure to have you. So you are part of this glorious endeavor. How did that happen? Tell us the organic way that came to be.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's the real promise of social networking. Matt became interested in my playing based on a YouTube video that he saw of me with another band called the Dave Taller Music Group. And he was following some of our videos on YouTube, really liked my playing, and reached out to me and asked if I'd be interested in playing on this project. And I knew who Matt was. He's a real rising star in the production
yes.
world in this area. And I just jumped on the opportunity.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Awesome.
And Matt has no fear at all about picking up the phone and saying, hey, you want to play with me?
Matt
exactly.
is out of the box.
No shame.
Matt is out
no
of the
shame.
Box. And he's an amazing person and real has a real eye for talent. And I just can't believe what he pulled together here. This is it's mind-bending to me how this came together and where it is now. I'm so excited.
Well, look, I am too. I am way older than all of you. And, you know, it's so satisfying and just, I use the word refreshing maybe too much. If there's a word above refreshing, revitalizing, to hear the kind of instrumentation that is done that to my ears opens a new pathway to my preferred genre, jazz. So
wow.
So I know that there are elements of other music involved, but to my ear, this puts an end to all the negativity that is being said about the future of jazz. Oh, shut up. You listen to this, and you tell me what you think.
Nice.
Well, you know, here's the thing about it. You know, people are so busy putting labels on stuff, and instead of just letting the art dictate what it wants to be. So this is a scenario where the art explained itself, it revealed itself to us. So we just followed that inspiration to its outcome, and that's what it is. Now people can put a name on whatever they want it to be. But this was not something that we sat around in a room and planned. The art itself demanded what it ultimately ended up becoming.
Right. I get that. I really do. It was obvious that nobody that was part of this process was thinking in terms of, ooh, geez, will we offend somebody if we do this? It was all a matter of, hey, look, if this sounds right, how can this sound more positive? How can this lift up as opposed to weigh down? That's the sense of this. It just seemed like a new kind of energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing listening again to what this is now based on the kind of initial demo ideas that we heard. Although, you know, this does touch back to the original demo. It has such a different life of its own. You know, you have a child, you think you have an idea of what it's going to be, and then that child grows up and it's completely destroyed any, you know, preconceived notion of what you thought that child was going to be. And that's what's happening with this song. It's really a mind-bending experience.
It's, as I said to Matt and Arun before about Genesis, I played the song weeks ago to a male musician friend of mine, and it's so cool to hear phrase or word associations pop up. There's no thinking about them. This guy who's about 38 or so said, "Wow, Mahavishnu on steroids." So that sort of connotes a visual, if you will. But it's just so expansive. People aren't necessarily used to hearing the kind of expansion in music that this has. And when they hear it, it's an alternative universe for them. They hardly know what to do. They're just so used to the confining sub-genres that they hear on the radio, God knows. I mean, you're not hearing a whole lot on terrestrial radio that's going to be popping and creative. But this, my gosh, at the risk of saying a masterpiece, I will.
Well, it's so exciting to hear the feedback because, of course, we sit in a room and we have these ideas while we're working out our parts and we're responding to the music. We don't know how people are going to receive it. We don't know how it's going to affect people. So to hear that come from you and people that I've not met prior to this conversation, and to hear how that it's moving you and touching you in a way, in this way, it's just really exciting to us because, you know, every note means something to us as we're playing them. And we just don't, you know, they're not commodities. We just don't pull them off the shelf. They mean something, and we hope that the emotion touches the people that are listening to it and makes them consider that this could be something different, that this is just not another stock song or another stock piece of art. We hope that it's something that people can hang on the walls of their memory and be moved by it emotionally.
And not only that, but once you have achieved a particular dimension like this, you can forget any merely music attachment that you can place on it. It becomes spiritual. It's a spiritual journey that you are just beginning to find a path to. So you keep going in that direction, and God knows what this conversation will be this time next year.
Well, then I guess Genesis was the right name, maybe even a self-fulfilling prophecy then, right?
Exactly. That is true because it's the beginning, and it also conveys a hope of what's to come.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's a lot to live up to.
Thank you, Trisha. Beautiful.
Well, good, good. Well, my work is done here.
Great note to end on.
Well, it was wonderful to have you all. Oh, my God, why did I know that with Matthew Shell as part of this mix, there would be a third party involved?
Well, Matthew's the man. I'm a little older than Matt, and you just know when you're around a special person who's going to be disruptive, who's going to make a difference, and he's really transformational in the work that he's doing. And I'm just so honored to be working with him in our room. Same feeling for him. I've only met him virtually, but he feels like a brother from another. So we're all in this together now.
Well, it's really, it's mind-numbing in the best way to think of different people from different walks of life who are coming together with this commonality. I mean, you know, it's cliched at this point, but when you mean it, when you feel it, when you find it, it means everything.
Wow.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Oh, my God. I don't know where to go from here.
can I give a quick thank you? can I give a quick thank you to everyone who's on the song? Because there are a couple people. I thought just so everyone gets their name on the radio real quick. Is that cool, Trish?
Please, go ahead.
All right, of course, Arun Shenoy. Thank you very much for being the co-producer. T.O. Lee, doing all the wonderful bass playing. Conrad at Blue Room Productions for allowing us to use the studio to shoot and also record bass. Stephen Slate in L.A. for allowing us to use his studio for the violin final performance and video shoot. Arun's wife, Roshni, for her great art direction with Robert Capria, Alexander Bruce Nesev for his drum engineering, Sebastian Wyrobich for his drum performance, Studio Pose for the electric guitar solo, Jonathan Wesley for string arrangement and keyboards, Von Stepanian for his amazing piano work, Ian Cameroon, especially for the violin, amazing. And then a wild card, a lot of people might not even realize this, but we had the Foo Fighters mastering engineer, Emily Lazar from New York, from The Lodge Mastering. So we're honored to have her a part of the project. And, of course, my fiance, Tara, good friend, Kenny McNeil. Shout out to my family, my parents, all that. And Arun, is there anyone else you want to give a shout out to?
No, I think you pretty much covered everybody.
Arun, I didn't know you were on the phone, buddy.
Matt, we're just so used to Matt. Like, oh, okay. I think that there should be like some sort of Henry Mancini '60s theme as you do the credits at the end of the TV show.
Nice, Matt. And the video director. And the video director, Jason Boston. He's amazing.
Yes, Jason, of course.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everyone.
Well, you know, Matt, you are welcome back anytime because I always know that space will be filled with you.
Nice.
Arun, I loved having you. Oh my God, look, get a glass of warm milk or something so that you can come down because there's a little bit of energy that you'll have to face before you can go to sleep in Singapore.
Thanks for having me. Really
nice. Oh, it's a pleasure.
Nice.
Anytime
message.
You want to come back. And I mean that. And it's like weird because I know that there is like this little gap between what is heard. It's like watching Brian Williams on NBC with a correspondent somewhere that's separated by an ocean, and there's a pause. It's been really wild to have Arun here with us. And wow, it's just great to have all three of you, and I appreciate the collaboration no end, and looking forward to the journey, the genesis.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for that.
You are absolutely welcome. And all three of you, whenever you want to hang, you just call this number when the show is going on. I'll recognize the numbers now.
Nice.
Okay, just remember you said that. Just remember you
okay.
said
that. Okay. Oh, boy, yeah. All right. We got witnesses.
That's right.
Oh, thank you so much for the company. And, Matt,
thank
I think
you.
That we should end with Twilight because that's sort of the Alpha and the Omega, the Genesis, and then sort of toward the end of the journey.
Nice.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
it. And
well,
Greg
cool.
Adams was amazing on that, so can't go wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll get a plug in for Greg. June 1st, tickets go on sale for the Potomac Jazz and Seafood Festival. Only 800 tickets will be sold, and East Bay Soul, with Greg as the leader of that band, will be the headlining act.
And that's how we met in person, was at his concert. So that was pretty crazy.
Greg Adams is one of those wonderful creatures. As it turns out, his parents were both Salvation Army missionaries. And he has had an interesting background with Tower of Power, of course. But Arun, honestly, it would be so amazing to consider working with Greg someday. It really would. Matthew, oh, wouldn't that be cool to put together?
I'll definitely introduce them to each other.
That's great. Look, we're making all sorts of work happen for all three of you, okay?
I love it. I love it.
All right. Thank you so much again, and blessings to all of you and all of your endeavors. And I know that I'll stay in touch with Matthew for sure, because I have no choice. So thank you.
thank you so much.
None of us do.
All right. All right. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll keep in touch.
All right.
Bye now.
Take care.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Arun. That's wonderful. Yay. Well, listen, we're going to have to. Absolutely, we're going to have to do this. We, some months ago, had Matthew Shell and Trey Ely on the show, and that was a party and a half. There was many people involved in that particular session, that hour and some. So one of the songs that was one of those songs that captured the interest of Grammy.com. This was the initial introduction to Trey and Matthew's Freedom. This is a song called Twilight on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You know, I have no idea what that girl says sometimes, but anything she does turns into gold, so who am I to say anything? Esperanza Spalding, God bless her heart. Mercy, radio song from Radio Music Society. We like that. We in the Radio Music Society are very particular who we allow to be members. 2012, there is Esperanza everywhere. If you go to her website, you will see that there is a quote at the top that says that she is truly one of the hardest working people in the music industry. everywhere. She's going to Brazil. She's going to be at the Blue Note Jazz Festival with Wayne Shorter. Woo! That's some killer combination. Wow. And check this out. We mentioned this. We discussed this. Okay, I mentioned this. We discussed it. Don't you hate that? That is so pompous. I'm not a we, I'm an I. We mentioned this, but see, that's what the Radio Music Society does to you. We are very particular. I'm rambling. The Brotherhood / Sister Soul organization that was founded in 1995 is one of those organizations. If you do a little research on this group, you are going to fall in love. They take kids, I don't know how they find them, but I really do appreciate the terminology used here, underserved kids from 8 until actually young people status, 22 years of age, try to get them from start to finish. There are other groups that do this, of course, in different pockets of the country. There can't be enough of these organizations. They wrap services around them, making sure that they get after-school care, making sure that they get educated not only about what's in school, but the ways of the world. There is also sexual behavior accountability involved in this. There is hygiene, different kinds of scenarios that prepare you in actual terms for what the world will be like when you get to be of an age to take responsibility for yourself. Just amazing. And they're going to have a big to-do tomorrow night, actually. And I just found this out today in New York, the 9th Annual Voices Celebration. There will be a few people honored, and on hand will be, and these are for my ladies who like the TV show, Norm Lewis will be there, who nominated for a Tony for his work in Porgy and Bess, but you will know him as Edison in Scandal. Yes, this is the one that wouldn't go away for a while because our girl, Kerry Washington's character, is all over Fitz, and Edison did not know, of course, that Olivia and Fitz were close. So Olivia thought that she could forget Fitz if she got involved with Edison. Wrong. And for a while there, Edison would not leave her alone. And there were some ladies who were posting all over Facebook about how distraught they were about the whole situation. So we'll see what happens with the new season. We also heard from Cal Chater. And the piece that you heard was from 1959's Cal Chater Goes Latin. Now, consider this. This is a Latin jazz artist, essentially, who was the son of touring Swedish vaudevillians. And the song you heard was Mambo at the M. So cool. Vince Guaraldi was a part of that, as well as Mongo Santa Maria. And I just loved how the vibes got into this play with piano and all that sweet percussion. Woo! So beautiful. Just to give you a brief overview of how Cal Chater got to his epiphany, he was in the service, and he was not based in California, but he went to school there, and then he went to San Francisco. While there, he met Dave Brubeck and Paul Desmond. So he's immersed in the California jazz scene there. And then someone that our good friend EC3 knows very well, Al McKibben, bassman extraordinaire, introduces Cal in New York City to these amazing Afro-Cuban bands that were just popping up all over the place. And Cal, his mind got spun. And so from that day forward, and actually over a 40-year career, most of that incorporating the flavor of Afro-Cuban and Latin rhythms into his music. And that was a taste of that. Woo! So delicious. Thank you once again to three amazing people. We started off with two, and that was Matthew Shell and Arun Shenoy. Finally got his name right. And then coming aboard was Tio. And Tio is part of this Genesis package, and it's just thrilling to hear the music. Honest to gosh, it's mind-boggling to see what kinds of music will emerge. And Matthew Shell's new album, Victorious, is coming out, so you know we'll be among the first to play it. Somebody that we have not heard from for a while, and I reached out to her right arm, Kelly, to find out what's going on. She has taken a rather lengthy sabbatical, and I don't blame her, because when you turn up the kind of music that Joyce Cooling does, you need time to live so that you can bring more authenticity, come on, Trish, into the music mix. And we're going to go back now, because nothing like hearing a Joyce Cooling guitar. This is Global Cooling on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks, Beach. Thanks, Mr. Wright. Thanks, Matt, for hanging with us today. such a cool take on that 1994 Desiree song, You Gotta Be. And I'm here to tell you, it's so frustrating. For a while it was frustrating because I didn't see a lot of credits that were female vocals getting mentioned on projects, not only from long ago, you almost expected it because females were second-class citizens back in the day, but in the newer projects, no vocals were being mentioned. And then here comes Brian Simpson, Just What You Need, his CD that just came out last month. And let me tell you, it's like pulling teeth to try to find information on the gentleman who just thrilled you with that vocal. His name is Jeff Robinson. He's classified as, in some circles, a jazz singer, and he would like people to think of him as, an R&B, soul, jazz, all of it kind of singer. I really don't know a whole lot about Jeff Robinson, but what I'm picking up is that he is a first call singer, like Lynn Fidmont is a first call singer in the way of female voices. Anytime you need a project to pop, like he did with Brian Simpson's project, that vocal on Brian's new CD makes the other songs by the inclusion sound better. Brian ends the CD with this song. I've heard a number of critics, if you will, or reviewers say that that song lingers in their head. And there's a reason for that. There's a seasoned veteran who was asked to do a song on a contemporary jazz project, and for the rest of the day, you're gonna be free, you're gonna be strong, you're gonna be singing that song between now and the time you go to bed. Or in Arun Shenoy's case, he's already in bed, hopefully. So maybe he'll hear the interview all over again in the archives. Jeff Robinson singing with Brian Simpson and Company from the brand new and very satisfying Just What You Need project. We heard from 1970 Alice Coltrane. Alice Coltrane. Whoa, just amazing to even say the name. At 7, studying classical music, she found freedom in jazz. And there's no need to say who she was married to or who she's the mother of. But one of those female band leaders that certainly elicited reverence as well as respect, because she was in a total class by herself. Blue Nile, the name of the piece from Pita the El Daoud, which actually translates into meaning beloved Egyptian god. On that particular endeavor, Pharoah Sanders, Joe Henderson, Ron Carter, and Ben Riley. Pharoah Sanders, forevermore influenced by both John and Alice, no doubt. She incorporated all of this vibing into her music. The classical, the jazz she learned. She played piano and organ for the gospel choir, and then she got involved in harp. So, and later, she became, is it Yoganini? It's the female equivalent of a yoga. So she never completely lost the Christian roots. But what she and John did toward the end of John's life, as you know, he was incorporating these fraught with spirituality meanings and riffs in his music. And a lot of folks who had known him in a previous endeavor or two, some of them embraced it, but some ran screaming out the door, just didn't get it. But Alice was a powerful influence on John, so that's where he went. It's just a magical journey when you think of these two together. Wow. Oh, Joyce Cooling, we heard. Again, that sabbatical is too long, Joyce. We need some more music, and hopefully I'll get the answer from Kelly, and I'll explain to you next time what is going on. I know she's still very much involved with NAMI, N-A-M-I, National Association of Mental Illness, and doing all that she can because of a personal tie with challenges in her family pertaining to her brother. She wants to make sure that this help is at disposal. There are NAMIs all over the country. There's one that's close by us, and I think of Joyce every time I go by because nobody, not in these numbers, would have known about it had she not spoken up so frequently. So thank you, Joyce. And thank you for listening to Hybrid Jazz today. You enjoying the music, are you? One of the special artists, handsome, visionary, profoundly talented. Matter of fact, let's give you this quote that somebody said about Roman Collin. One of the very select few pianists that are in the process of reshaping what is considered the jazz piano norm. That's pretty powerful stuff. And gave this amazing talent 5 stars for The Calling. This is the title track, Roman Collin on Hybrid Jazz.
inhabit our histories, and our histories inhabit us. A prison system with 2.4 million people behind bars is a terrible specter of slavery. And if indeed we can say that slavery was abolished, we cannot deny that it still haunts us. The challenges of the past are challenges of the present and challenges of the future. Poverty, racism, xenophobia, homophobia, freedom itself, it's constantly transforming, echoes of the past and reverberations of the future.
poverty of our rich land, the unrelenting beat of ignorance in the street, and children growing up with no tools to defeat the echo of the past.
That Terry Lynn Carrington and her amazing array of Amazonian talent in that Assembly Mosaic Project. Oh my God, I still cannot get enough of that CD. Seriously, such artistry, such songs. And then to hear Angela Davis at the beginning of that song, I first heard that, I was tripping. And then here comes Diane Reeves. Woo, Lord. You know Diane was absolutely on a natural high when she knew she was going to do this. Echo from Mosaic Project. Yes. And Diane, let alone Terry, I can't keep up with her. Seriously, I hope that she took a rest after what she was doing for International Jazz Day, because she has so many fingers in separate pies, it's not even funny. But it just occurred to me in listening to Echo that Terry really does believe in that, making sure we pay very close attention to what has happened in the past so that we can regroup and better arm ourselves for the present and the future. And, of course, that was what Terry tried to do, actually, in capturing the essence of Ellington and the whole money theme for her new CD. Never thought about it in those terms before, but these are mostly Terry Lynn Carrington songs on Mosaic Project, and she seems pretty consistent with that theme. Pay attention to what went on even before you lived, because in doing so, we can stop ourselves before we get into trouble. Too late. All right. Well, Echo, Diane Reeves, she is momentarily, next couple of days, going to be at the, what is this called? The Jazz U Festival of the Hotel Oasis, Cancun at the Arena. In Mexico, then she's going to Norway, Ireland, France, and then back to the States. It seems as though she has had a renewal in her career as of late, and that's fabulous. Oh, my gosh. She is a lot like Chick Corea in that there are two or three groups or musical entourages, if you will, that she associates with. And she just has different gigs for these different kinds of endeavors, and travels all over the world, and then she comes back to Denver, Colorado. She's pretty amazing. Love that interview. There was a lot of people who did, because that was a lot of listening that day when she was on Hyper Jazz. Two people were back-to-back that I absolutely adore in that three-song set, and they both wrote to say, hey, howdy, and thank you on Facebook. Chelsea Green was in the middle there. She never deserves to be in the middle. She always is going to be leader of the pack. She's so wonderful, this lady, seriously. She and her Green Project did the EP Groove Ready. I just happen to have it here. And I always like to have the credits. This is the beauty of having hard copy and not CDs that are downloaded, because then you can brag on the folks that you know who are playing with the artist. And you heard Groove Ready, written by Chelsea and Carlos Brickhouse, who was one of the treasures on the earth, ladies and gentlemen. He's fabulous. Chelsea, of course, on violin. On strings, Ignatius Perry Jr. Also on synthesizer keyboard, and Kevin Powell Jr. on electric bass, Brian Spida Wheatley on drums. One of those youngins that you see on drums, when you see him, if you're a drummer, you just have to go back to the house. There's really no sense. He's that good. Amazing. Chelsea debuted a new song when she was at Strathmore recently. It's called Sexy Song. And it really is. If you go to her Facebook page, ooh, Chelsea, we got to talk, girl. Maybe there's something going on. I don't know. I've got to find out. Still Green is the name of the EP. Go out and pick that rascal up. Another one of those hybrid journeys that you'll go on. Classical and a little hip-hop and jazz and these different kind of flavors from Texas, where she's from, and D.C., where she's spending time now. She's amazing. Roman Collin. Beach, tell me the truth. When you just saw what Roman Collin looked like, what did you say? Yes, you said hacha macha. We can't help it, Roman. We don't want to embarrass you, but that's the truth. Hacha macha. You are just one freaking fine Frenchman, okay? And as it turns out, he's also a brilliant artist. And the calling is what we heard. Let us tell you that Roman, who was also on the show, and you can sort of tell what he looks like when he speaks, whew, he is going to be with Tim Green, Baltimore hero in New York City, in June. He's also going to do a gig or two with Eva Cortez. I'm very curious about this young lady at the Blue Note. And Roman is also going to be at Mez 127, which is a pretty happening place in Honolulu. Woo! Man, he is awesome. This young man, also in his 30s, we've had a lot of those folks here today. He just has an intuitive sense about the strength of the piano, but also the sensitivity. He's wonderful. I want to play a couple of songs because we went a little over with the interview in the first hour. Tio and Matt and Arun, it was just so much fun. But I wanted to play this before time got away. I'm going to say this without crying. My beautiful niece by marriage is Rachel Guerrero. And Rachel was married to my nephew, Mark. And Mark, sadly, blew it when he was married to her, because she is one of the more angelic beings that you could ever meet, seriously. One of the most beautiful women I've ever met. She has this warm, big family that has made her feel with every step that she's ever taken that she is worthy. She, along the way, met a couple of people, including my nephew, who didn't do a good job in making her aware of how special she was. She's got a son that she dotes on, a granddaughter that is her world. And last week, Rachel, in her 40s, was talking to someone, and all of a sudden the friend knew that something was wrong, and radically so. Rachel had a brain aneurysm. And her family immediately gathered, and she is in the hospital, of course, but there was so much prayer and so much love, so much goodwill and best wishes directed at her that within 24 hours, she was speaking in a whisper. Now, it's been back and forth a little, but if you will, please hold her in prayer. Woo! I had to play a song for her, and I came across Greg Adams from Cool to the Touch, 2006-2007. This song, because of Rachel's Mexican heritage, woo! I wanted to play Hermosa, which is beautiful. So, it's for Rachel. I'm sorry. Ooh, she really is. Listen to the song. This is Hybrid Jazz.
The kicker in a whiskey or two. The thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea cast a spell over me. Still I say to myself, get a hold of yourself. Can't you see it never can be? You go to my head with a smile that makes my temperature rise like a summer with a thousand lies. You intoxicate my soul with your eyes.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case. Woo! Bobby Caldwell. Let me just say this. First, that's from Blue Condition from 1996. You go to my head. Does he not sound like Frank Sinatra there? He blows my mind. And he blew an even bigger hole in it the other day. Had an opportunity to see him. Thank you to Chris at Ramshead. Chris is magical. Got the best seat in the house to see Bobby Caldwell and his band, including the fabulous Andrew New, who is a young man but plays like he's 70 years old. He just is intuitive with that saxophone. And Bobby is so generous But the applause for Andrew was so big at some points that Bobby just looked at the other guys in the band, and then he got on the microphone and said, well, good night. But seriously, he's been doing this for so long. And when he is relaxed and comfortable with this packed house in an intimate venue, he is hilarious. Oh, my God. Just cracking one-liners just as natural as can be. And I had a chance to meet Mary, his beautiful wife, who arranged the interview on the show a couple of months ago before Burke's. Just a really beautiful night. He's wonderful to see. He's going to be at Scholars in Boston. Hey, Boston, we love you. On the 31st through June the 1st. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about this because time's getting to be of the essence now. But Bobby is part of this jazz festival that is going to be happening this year. I was so astounded to see the lineup. I'm happy, of course, for Bobby, who's closing the lineup of talent. There was absolutely no female act whatsoever in this lineup of over a couple of dozen acts. Seriously? What year is this? Everybody check your watch at the same time. 2013. Just checking. Amazing. So I won't even mention the jazz festival. Not worth it. Bobby Caldwell, though, always is. Go see him at a smaller venue where they appreciate women. Anyway, we also heard from Omar Akram. My gracious, with Greg Kouroukas, they have collaborated. Why do I always want to say that the word wrong these days? Collaborated on a couple of things. But Echoes of Love is the one that won the Grammy this past year, and that is for Best New Age Album. Open Skies is the track that we heard, and Omar has this particular way, much like Arun Shenoy, when you come from another land and you hear music differently, things take on this global vision that is just bliss to your ears. Oh, my gosh. This whole album, Echoes of Love, is like going to a shrink, the best one that you've ever could imagine going to, and getting completely healed. You don't have to pay all that money. Just the amount of money for going to see Omar Akram or buying his music. You can thank me later. We also heard Greg Adams, Hermosa, for my beautiful niece, Rachel. Greg's Cool to the Touch album has that and a whole bunch of other great tracks. And you have to know, in case you are making plans to do this, on June the 1st, you got to get your tickets for the Potomac Jazz and Seafood Festival. East Bay Soul is coming there, and that's going to be July 13th. Only 800 tickets will be sold. We talked about this. Kim was here with us. Greg Adams was here with us. This is a very big deal. One of the coolest jazz mingled with seafood festivals you could possibly attend. And some major talent. East Bay is going to be closing things out, but Jesse J is going to be a part of things too. And they've got a wonderful band from Ohio that's also like a bigger band. So it's just going to be great. I promised EC3 I was going to play him a song. He is coming to a venue in the neighborhood in Baltimore that we call Little Italy, Germano's. This will be the perfect match for EC and his band. And if you haven't heard a track from It's All About the Rhythm, you're about to hear one. This is a really special song. I'll tell you how special it is after we hear it. It's Chan's song on Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. Yes. I tried until the very last note thinking, am I going to have time for a vocal? And that the tracks for the vocals were just a little too long. But that's okay. That's a good song to send you on your way. EC3, beautiful. It's all about the rhythm. And that was a track called Chan Song, which was written by Herbie Hancock and Stevie Wonder, by the way. On piano, the amazing Janelle Gill. Our friend Michael Bowie on bass. Had such a good time with him a couple of weeks ago. On drums, the amazing EC3. Doesn't like to be necessarily known as Ernest Coleman anymore. It's EC3. On percussion, Clint Heisen. And also Dominique Patrick Noel. I'm reading in the dark here. Paul Jean. Oh, I never noticed that name before. And Janelle Gill was thrilling us with her little solo effort there. We have a couple of minutes, and I want to make sure that you understand, because it's my obligation to tell you, since EC posted on my page yesterday, and now I've got to go back and find it, all the particulars about Germanos. He is so happy that he's going to do this It's All About the Rhythm tour. First time in Baltimore, so it's very important. Sunday, June 23rd on 300 South High Street in Baltimore. You make reservations, of course. It's at Germanos. There's a $20 cover. If you need more information, give me a shout-out, and I'd be glad to tell you. Whew, glad I got that out. He's doing a lot these days, and I'm really proud of him. He's doing some things that are creative and thinking out of the box, and we encourage that on Hybrid Jazz. Wow, what do I have to tell you now? Thursday's show. You know that we love to go back and forth between those folks who live in Poor, for example, and those folks who are local or regional. Well, come Thursday, the last show for the month, Todd Simon will be here. Todd Simon is a much buzzed about artist in our Baltimore area, and you are going to hear why. So exciting when the little ones leave the nest. You know, I could just cry, but I won't. Todd Simon will be here, and Chiele Mannucci has done the reschedule. He was supposed to be here in the past week or so, last Thursday, as a matter of fact, but he had to go into the studio for a little while. So we're going to have him next Tuesday. You know what next Tuesday is, don't you? I'll tell you what it is. It's First Tuesday. That means that artists call to let us know what's shaking bacon in their part of the hood. Have a wonderful night. A great Wednesday, and I'll see you Thursday right here, God willing, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. God bless you all.